Good afternoon. Welcome to Coffee and Conversation, a podcast brought to you by the Del Norte County Office of Education and Del Norte County Unified School District. I'm Jeff Harris, the superintendent of schools for Del Norte County. And today we're going to talk a little bit about state testing. So for those of you who keep up on the state testing models, that shows you may have some other issues, but we'll talk about that later. The state has had a lot of variations in testing. So when I first started teaching in the, early mid-90s, it was CTBS or whatever it was at that point in time. There were a number of different tests, and they changed in the 2000s to the California standards test, the CSTs. Those CSTs, for those of you, again, who follow state testing, know that for almost a decade, those tests were weighted differently each year that they were given around the state. And then there was a period of time in the early teens when there were no state tests. And now we land on a time where we are giving the CASP test. And we're not going to go into the history of CASP because it's a long, ugly mess around the country. I'll just say that there are basically three trains of thought. You've got the CASP test, which was done by the Smarter Balanced Consortium back east and in some western states. You have the PARC, which is a different a consortium. And then you have some states that just said, we're not going to give a federalized assessment. We're going to give our own, and we'll turn that into the feds. So today, to talk a little bit about the CASP test, to give a little bit of background, to talk a little bit about what's coming up, I have Ray Fearing. Ray, welcome.
Thank you.
And Ray's title is Director of Innovation and Special Projects. And I also have Leslie Machado, and Leslie's our Curriculum and Instruction Director.
Hello.
So you two are responsible, by and large, for all the testing that goes on in our county, right? And that is LPAC, CASP,
Physical fitness.
Physical fitness. Did I leave any out?
Did you say CA?
I said CA. You got CA? Okay. So basically, just if you don't mind, just talk a little bit about what those four tests are, just really briefly.
I'll start, Leslie. So the CASP is the California Assessment of Student Progress and Performance, and that has several tests that fall underneath it. And our testing window starts April 17th and runs through the end of May. And we will be testing students in English language arts, mathematics, and science during that time. And that is a short window. Some testing windows that we have run longer during the year, but this is kind of the big stakes testing that comes at the end of the year. And my job and my position is really to prepare us as best we can so that both staff and students are ready and feel prepared to either administer or take the test.
And again, Ray, that's that particular test, the CASP, is grades 3 through 8. And then grade 11 in high school.
And yes, and generally it could be there could be different grades in high school, but most schools in the state and certainly here in Del Norte tend to just give it to their juniors that junior year.
And then science, what grades are science?
Science, well, and science could be when you take your last science class in high school, but we just lump that all into that junior year.
The junior, and then also fifth and
eighth
grade.
For science.
Mm-hmm. For science. And Leslie, I know that you also work with the LPAC. You want to talk a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, LPAC is a language proficiency test for English. It's for our English learners. So when we have a newcomer who comes in, they will take their initial LPAC, and then that's not assessing where they are in the content standards. That's truly what their proficiency is in English. So they'll take that, and then towards February, they start taking their annual LPAC assessment to see if they've made growth.
And then we also have the CA.
the California Alternate Assessment, and that is for students typically with special needs that prohibit them from being able to take the CASP, the regular assessment that the other students take. It's just a different version,
right,
but it still does assess them on the content standards.
And the interesting thing about CA, too, is for students who qualify for the CA, who actually take the CA, there is a new law that has just been put into effect that actually has a different graduation pathway that will be linked to that in the upcoming years. So it's interesting just to kind of know that linkage, but not every student can qualify for the CA. It has to be more of a significant or profound disability. And then a little bit about PFT, the physical fitness test.
So we are just finishing our physical fitness testing window. It was all of March. And so teachers have been busy between snowstorms and rainstorms trying to get outside to the different physical fitness.
If only we had skiing and snowshoeing.
Yeah, I know. That's not one of the things they assess. But it's been difficult getting out and getting kids to do the different, whether it's pacers or different pull-up or chin-up exercises, the different things they need to get done. But we're wrapping that up. Spring break falls right at the end of our testing window, so teachers are a little pressed to get it done by the end of this week, the 24th of March, and then we'll enter our data, get it all entered by the first week of April, and then we'll be done with physical fitness testing.
And, you know, and I'll just echo a lot of concern that a lot of our families have. This is a lot of testing. On top of what happens in a classroom, at a grade level within the district, Ames Web or whatever else that we've got going on. Do you guys, in your roles, do you hear the same sort of thing from administrators and teachers and families? Does that come across your desks?
I'll just say a little bit and then defer to the director of curriculum. But when it comes to CASP, which is where I spend most of my time with this test and the interims that support this test, it is a lot of testing, but it's valuable information. And so it shouldn't be just taken by itself. I think the scores that we're going to generate this spring with our summative testing need to be compared to how they're doing on iReady interim assessments and classroom local assessments. So it's just part of a process to really make sure we have a good understanding of what our students are capable of and what they know and where we need to improve.
Yeah, and I would just add that I do get a lot of questions about, gosh, another assessment. And I think you're already doing assessments. If you're teaching, there should be as much assessment as there is teaching and learning going on in a classroom. And there's different purposes for it. So if you're a teacher, right, and you're teaching something, you want to see, hey, how did it go? Do I need to go back? Is there just a small group that didn't get it? What's going on? This is summative, meaning that if you're a third grader, these are all the standards for third grade in ELA or in math. So it's a summative. It's at the end of the year. And it's really seeing, not only though, and we know this about the CASP, do you know the content of what the third grade standards are, but also are you able to show that in this format, which CASP is different than anything that we have.
Right, and I think that's an important piece too, because a lot of families out there, even some of our younger parents and caregivers, when I think of tests, I think of when I was in school. That was a long time ago. But it was paper pencil, right? You wrote it out. The teacher checked to make sure that your problems were there. If you did take any form of standardized test, you filled in a bubble.
Scantrons. Yes.
That's not how this is. This is a very different thing. And so some of our families are new to the area or maybe new to California and may not have this in other states that they may have come from. Other families, this may be the first year that your child is taking a test. So talk a little bit about the format, because it is very different and it involves no paper nor pencils.
True. What's really, it's been a tough transition this past many years that we've been transitioning from paper and pencil to computer-based testing, but it does allow for accessibility and it makes testing more fair for all of our students, meaning that there is a whole range of universal tools, designated supports, and accommodations available for students. There are things that support all learners that every student has access to on the test, including a glossary, Zoom, different things like this. And then there are designated supports, which can be given to a student to support testing based on a conversation or discussion between teacher and student or a teacher team or parents and teachers. And those things are available to students with no a special education plan or a 504 plan, but just kids who could benefit from those supports. And then you have accommodations that support our students with the most need, which you do need to have an individualized education plan or 504. But these tools are unique, were never available before when our students were doing bubble testing.
Right.
So it really does help us evaluate what kids know by having those available to them on the test. And then the other thing that's different about the format is this is adaptive testing. Mm-hmm. So not every kid takes the same test. They might all start with the same questions, but it quickly changes based on their answers to be tailored to what they need. And so that's another very big difference in this form of testing.
And when we talk about tailored to what they need, I mean, the questions can actually get a little easier or a little more difficult. It tries to find that sweet spot. Right.
Right. To see where the student's at.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. To actually find it. So when these test scores come in, right, they're not really listed by the state as your child made a, they were outstanding. So here's their A, or they failed and here's an F. How does the state let families know where their child is?
So there are four descriptors for where a student is when they take the CASP. They're either have exceeded grade level standards, they're at grade level standards, near or below. So four different areas. And the report that you receive that parents can look in Aries, in the Aries portal now, it will show that. And I know that last year, Ray and April worked really hard to make sure those get printed and were also sent home so that they can see those. They have a physical one. But if you wanted to look at your child's, how they did this past year, you can look and see, or how they did in 2022, rather, you can look in the Aries portal and go to state testing and it'll show you the report.
And for if parents are wondering about those score reports, and they not only provide information on how they did on math in ELA and science if they took science, but it also provides them information on their Lexile level and their quantile level for math, which is very informative and helpful for parents. If parents are looking to receive some help about how to understand those score reports.
I was going to say, before we move ahead, we might want to talk about what Lexiles and quantiles are.
Basically, your quantile and your Lexile, and I will, and Leslie, add to this if you can, but it's just how what their reading level is, where they're functioning in reading, and about how they're functioning in math. So it gives you more information on their math ability and their reading ability.
And more information about Lexile and quantile are available online in a variety of resources, but you can also go to the CASP website, and it'll take you right into some of the Lexile and quantile information. But that's a great place for parents to start. I mean, if they look at the scores that are online and say, well, how do I help my child or what would it look like, especially if we're talking about over the summer, if you know what a Lexile is, you can kind of take a look at that. Go online. There are lists of books by Lexile, and you can take a child to the library. You can check out books that are on those Lexile lists to give them more practice at their level. And with math, it's going to give you some other information too. So, and I'm sorry, Ray, I interrupted. You were going to go into kind of understanding some of this.
I just wanted parents to understand the website that's available, California Starting Smarter website, ca.startingsmarter.org. And it's a really nice site for parents where they can get sample score reports and see what's going to be on those score reports. They can also see questions that the students will be asked. So you can take a practice test or look at practice test questions. So you see exactly what types of problems the students are being faced with on these tests. And then they also have a lot of other resources to help you support your learner. So if they do have issues in reading or math or science, it gives suggestions, resources, other websites where they can go get more materials to help their students improve.
So now I know that CASP had a place where parents could go do a
practice test.
Kind of a practice test. Is this the same practice test? Is it a different practice test? Is there another website where they can go?
You could get to this one through both. So it's the same practice test questions that you'd be seeing, I believe. But you can go to CASP.org, CAASPP.org, and click on parent resources, or you can go straight to this parent website, which is ca.startingsmarter.org, and get those practice test questions.
And I would really encourage people to do that because it's pretty eye-opening,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not about the algorithm in math, for instance. It's about actually using critical thinking to apply math.
Yep.
It's in language arts. It's not just about reading and answering comprehension questions. It's about understanding and then being able to draw relationships between maybe two different things that students are read.
And the listening and speaking. I'm always right. interested to see how our students perform there. They have to listen to audio and then answer questions based on what they heard, not just things that they read, which is different as well.
Right.
Yeah, it's different than the days where you had multiple choice and you knew that 50% were wrong and you had to basically write. I mean, there's a lot, and kids get stuck still because there's multiple answers. There could be possibly multiple answers, not just one. So all of that, it's important that our students have access and are practicing that, and teachers are providing that. And we're seeing that even more this year that they're providing. They're called interims, which are basically the assessments, but just smaller pieces broken down by different standards, smaller amount of standards instead of the summative being right. all of the standards.
So basically, I mean, if families really wanted to know how their child felt about going into the testing after spring break, they can ask them how the interims went. Because I know one of the things that I've asked the two of you to give me some information on over the past few weeks was how many students have actually interacted with interim assessments district-wide. And I know a few years ago, there weren't many, right? And we had a conversation about accessing the test, and I'll just call it the test, but accessing the test, because a lot of our students, they can do what they're asked to do in class, but sometimes if they don't know how they're going to be asked to do it on the test, can impact their test score. So we've had most of our students, if not all, that will be taking the test have had access at this point, correct?
At least once.
At least once, yes. Yeah. Hopefully more than once.
Right.
So if I'm a parent or a family member or caregiver and I'm sitting here thinking I want my child to do the best they can do, and testing is, we're still 3 weeks away, right? Because we're gonna finish this week. We have a week of spring break. We're gonna come back. I don't think anybody's starting testing the Monday that we're back after spring break.
I don't think so.
But I have full faith that my child's teacher has them prepared. I'm gonna make sure that they're at school. What can a family do to really support their child when it comes down to testing, to make sure that there's nothing else that gets in the way? Because, you know, the two of you know this. I'm not a super big fan of standardized testing. Like you were saying, Leslie, it's a summative assessment. It's a one shot. And mm-hmm. Ray, you know, you were saying you really have to look at this in the light of all the assessments. You know, it's one of those measure twice, cut once sort of situations where we look at all the different measurements that we have to determine where a child truly is academically. And that summative assessment, there's a lot of weight. While we as a system can look at a child and say, you know what, given the totality, here's where we really think they are. We talk to families during parent-teacher conferences. We provide interventions based on, like, again, the totality of all the assessments that we do during school. That one state assessment is what the state judges our student by. It's what the federal government judges our student by. It's what people in our community mm-hmm. judge the schools and the district by. But at that one point in time, when there's that one snapshot, that's totally dependent on the state of mind of the child taking the test, on their ability to recall the information on that day that question was asked. So there's a lot of things, but to get rid of some of those other issues that may creep into testing, what can families do to support their child?
I know that test anxiety is real, and we build it up because it is the summative. It is the CAS, the state test, and that we're going to display, and it'll be available for anybody in the public anywhere to look at.
Not my child.
No.
Not my child.
No. But it's just talking to your child, because I have a child who very much gets anxious before an assessment. It's just saying, all you're doing is showing what you know. And we used to say that all the time. I remember when it was CSTs, show what you know, and just do your best. And we all understand it's one assessment out of probably hundreds of different types of assessments that you've taken that year. You just do the best that you can. And if you don't know something, it's made so that you don't know some things. I mean, it's okay. So go on, try your best, and keep going. And that, I think that's the biggest thing, is just not to make it such a big deal that kids kind of freak out and shut down on it.
And while it is important to show up and try your best, we really do want them to. I know that in my 10 plus years of teaching at the high school, Randy Fugate and I taught together, and we always looked at our test scores and said, okay, well, how did we do this year? What can we improve on next year? Because you could see trends in what, right, how student performance went. But it is important. We do want students to try their best, but these scores don't follow you around forever. So this is nothing that's going to be attached to you if you don't do well on it. And it really is just a way for us to see how we're doing as a district, as a system, and then to see what needs students have so we can address those going forward.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think just the old, a lot of the things that we've always said about statewide testing, right? It's reducing that anxiety, because like you said, they're not good. These test scores aren't going to follow an individual student around forever. It is just showing what you know. There's no reason to be anxious about it. But from the home level too, I think that making sure that there's a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Making sure that your child is up and to school on time, because, you know, if testing starts at, let's say, 8:30 in the morning and they're rushing in at 8:20 and they're already 5 minutes late, that adds to that anxiety, right? About where are we? I've got to get my computer up and going. And we also offer breakfast. So either having breakfast at home or having it at school, and every child gets a free breakfast at school, or having it at both places. That's also not a bad thing. And then that reinforcement, because this testing doesn't happen in one day.
No.
No, it's spread out over weeks. Yeah. And we do that on purpose, because these tests are intense, they're lengthy. And so we schedule it to where they take one piece a day. So they're not doing testing multiple tests during one day. We do testing spread out over multiple days. So it's just smaller pieces, and it's more easily accepted by the kids if they're not. We don't want to test them to death. It's a lot.
So. Right. Well, it's not like, again, we were talking a little bit about CSTs. It's not like the old CSTs where you used to have to sit there for 60 minutes, or well, it wasn't 60 minutes because they were untimed tests. Everybody had to be totally quiet. You had to sit there in the room. This isn't that. Matter of fact, there's actually opportunity for them to talk. There's actually opportunity in some of the assessments for them to work together, right? So it's a different piece, but I think if families just, I think the two of you said it, really support their child, have a conversation with them, show what you know. But I would just caution families out there, don't put too much weight in one single test. If you really have a concern, talk to your child's teacher. If you want to go more in depth on what is on that report, and when should they see the results of this test? I believe it's August, September.
It'll be right around there. We never know exactly when they're going to send the results to us, but as soon as they are, which normally happens at the beginning of August, we get those results out to them by the end of August.
Pretty quick. Mm-hmm. So, but if folks have questions about their child's particular test results, we're always available to sit down and go over more in depth with you. So again, we are in state testing. You're going to hear about state testing, and just know that Ray and Leslie are indicative of the kind of support that's going on for every child at every school that is being provided by their principal, by their classroom teacher. And good luck to everybody.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Thank you both for coming in. And
thank you.
Hope you enjoy your week off next week.
Yeah, thank you.